This is an amazing thing. When you come expecting from God, great things happen. Great things happen when you come expecting some great move of God upon the life of people. And the men that were in the upper room, they were expecting. They were praying and they were expecting the move of God. And what happened? We all know that day, the Pentecostal day, on that day of Pentecost, the move of the Holy Spirit just came down in a mighty, precious way. And just from there on, the people, when they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, the thousands were saved because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Great things happen when we expect great things from God. And the expectation is also not only in the spiritual sense, but also in the physical sense. If you're expecting a touch physical from God, a healing, something pained on your body, expect that God can heal. We serve a big and a mighty God, a God who still heals today. Amen? We have seen the hand of God move on people's lives, and lives have been still touched and healed by the power of God. So if you come here expecting even for a touch of God, in touch in a physical way, God will also do that with you this morning. Are you with me this morning? I see that some of you are still half asleep with me this morning, and I think we are. But let me get to the Word of God this morning, and I want to encourage you to take full attention to God's Word this morning. I do believe that God is speaking to the church, speaking to individuals, to the hearts of the people. And I just want to continue the series on the journey, on transition in our lives, because we all face transition, we all face change, we all have a journey to do, we all have a journey to go, a place to go, and God has called us to go. And I want to encourage us through the Word of God once again, speaking about this morning's title is, There is Joy in the Journey. There is joy in your journey. There is joy in my journey. Though you might not see it at your present time, but there is joy in the journey of following Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So let's look at, as we always going to continue going, in the book of Exodus. We have seen last week the Israelites were just moving to transition to one place to another. And now we're going to end up going to the text that they're right in front of the Red Sea. So here it is in verse 21, starting in verse 21 of Exodus 14, verses 21 to 31. May the Lord add another blessing to His Word upon our lives as we read it. So I do encourage you to read it slowly and just meditate on the words, what God has for us. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea. The Lord drove the sea back. Okay, I'm going to read it from here because I can't see it. I think I'm losing my sight here. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back with a powerful east wind and all that night and turned into the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. And when the waters like a wall to them on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians, remember this, the Egyptians set out in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen went into the sea after them. During that morning watch, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian forces from the pillar of fire of cloud and threw them into confusion. He caused the chariot wheels to swivel and made them drive with difficulty. Let's get away from Israel, the Egyptians said, because Yahweh is fighting for them against Egypt. Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may come back on the Egyptians and the chariots and the horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea returned to its normal depth where the Egyptians were trying to escape from it. The Lord threw them into the sea, and the waters came back and covered the chariots of horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh, and they had gone after them into the sea. None of them survived. But the Israelites had walked through the sea of dry land with the waters like a wall on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the power of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and believed in Him and in His servant Moses. As we looked at last week, the Israelites were in transition and they were going to the promised land. They were going to Canaan, and they were going to this land. They had faced opposition as the Egyptians were pursuing them. However, when we have seen that the Lord was with this chosen people of God, and the Lord helped them on their way, their journey, on this transition and going to the place where God has called them to go. The Lord was there exactly at the right time when the Israelites needed them to be. God had to be at the moment they needed him to be. And we've seen that God was there. And we also looked at the scriptures that God had their back. When they were facing the worst of the worst, God had their back. As we see in Exodus 14, verses 19 to 20, then the angel of God who was going in front of the Israelite forces moved and went behind them. You and I have a God who has our back. When we're going through transition, when we're going through change of life, don't you worry, don't fear not, because God has your back as God has my back. So don't you worry, don't give up. Move forward, go ahead, because we have a God who is there for you and I this morning. Are you with me this morning? Isn't that excite you when you know that God has your back? Man, it's not a human being. At some time, someone can say, I got your back. But all of a sudden, they can just move away. And then, yeah, they really got you back. But our God is a big God. When he says he got your back, he's got your back. And he will protect you. And he will guide you. And he will lead you. So the Israelites had transitioned out of Egypt for 430 years of slavery. Now they led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And now they come to a place called the Red Sea, which they were traveling to the promised land. And they met their obstacle right there in front of them. We need to recognize something here. As we pursue the calling of God in our lives, we must be reminded to always remain faithful to the calling what God has called us to do. Be reminded all time, if God has called you to do, be reminded that I'm doing what God has called you to do. And when he's called you to do something, surely you will face opposition. You will face struggles. You will face hardship. Because the enemy is always there to pursue, to try to take you away from the track what God has called you to do. That's his role. That's his calling. Satan's calling is to come and destroy your life, to destroy my life, to move us away from the track what God has called us to go. But remember again, he has our back. In spite of the opposition we face in our lives, in our journey, there are three promises. And the three promises, we have the power of God, the promises of God, and the presence of God. The Israelites had the promises of God, they had the power of God, and they had the presence of God. You and I have the same thing in our life. We have this promise that God has given to us. That power from on high comes upon your life and comes upon my life when we're going through transition. And he promises through his word that he will be with you wherever you go. That's a promise that he's given to me. That's a promise he has given to you. He's a God who cannot break his promises. And also that, not only that he gives us the power, not only that he gives us the promises, but he gives us the presence of God. He is with us wherever we go. And that is a wonderful promise to know. It's not a person who walk away from the presence, from your presence, but the presence of God is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long, all your life, because the presence of God is true today as we speak. We experience the presence of God this morning. Are you with me? I experience the presence of God. And I know God's presence is in this place today. Why do I know that? Because when you encounter the power of God, when you act on the promises of God and obey the promises of God, when you experience the presence of God, you come transformed, because the presence of God is powerful. Because the power of God is powerful. Because his promises are true and amen. When you encounter the presence of God, great things happen in your life. When Moses met the presence of God on that burning bush, he did not come back the same. He came back different. He came back different. His face shone because he met Jesus. He met the King of Kings. He met the Lord of Lords. When you and I know and you're in the presence of God, something has to happen within our lives. Something has to happen in. You must come back transformed by the power of God. New Hope Christian Assembly, as long as we have the power of God, the promises of God and the presence of God in our lives and in this church, there is no obstacle, there is no opposition that we cannot be victorious. Those are the things that you and I should have on our daily thing in our life. The power of God, the promises of God, and the presence of God. God proves himself to be faithful. And God can be trusted because we have seen it in the life of the Israelites. And this morning I would like to encourage you with three things that God proves himself on who he is to the Israelites. And God will prove himself who he is to our lives this morning. Who he is to this church this morning. And the first thing we must see is that God led his people. You and I must understand, make sure that God is leading your life. Make sure that God is leading your finances. Make sure that God is leading your home. Make sure that God is leading your relationship. Make sure that God is leading your job place. Make sure that God is leading the church. When you know that God is leading, when God is leading your life and God is leading my life, bigger things and greater things are going to happen because we serve a big God. And we serve that God when we go and he leads us, he will lead us where God has called us to be. It's not a human being that's leading us. It is God himself. And when you and I rely on the one who will lead you, you and I will understand and see where God has called us to be. But make sure that God is leading you. We need to remind ourselves that in our journey, God leads his people and he proves himself. Not only that he sends us into a journey, but he leads us on to the journey. You might think that God is leading us. Maybe there won't be any opposition. However, there will always be opposition of life. Even though if God is leading you, you will face opposition of life. This is false teaching when someone would tell you, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and all your problems are solved. It is false. But God will help us through those oppositions and through the transitions of life. Even though God is leading us, and even you, God was leading them, and I'm going to prove it to you that God was leading them. And God wanted them to be the Israelites at the right place, at the right time, and the right moment. We see that through the scriptures this morning. If God is leading us now, the right seed is in front of them. The Egyptians were on their trail. They're on their back. In the physical, there was no way out. But God operates where it seems impossible to man. First thing we need to realize, that the children of Israel were exactly where God wanted them to be. Why do I say that? Because we look in Exodus chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. If we look at the next slide, it was facing it by the sea. Then the Lord said to Moses, and now God, the Lord has placed them and said, be there on the right sea. Be right in front of the sea. Now just because God will place you there doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. There's a reason why God places you in a certain place, in a certain area of your life. They're exactly where God wanted them to be, right in front of the Red Sea, in an obstacle and an opposition in their life. Right in front of them, there was the Red Sea. And at times, we would say, if I'm facing an opposition, if I'm facing a struggle, if I'm facing a transition in my life, we start going, and we start saying to ourselves, we are going the wrong direction. But the presence of opposition does not mean that you are going in the wrong direction whatsoever. God places you in a certain place on the right time. You might not understand it, but God knows why. So let's not be a person who judges right away, who criticizes right away, who starts to complain right away the way the Israelites done it. If God has called you to go to a place where God has called you, to that journey, don't you ever turn to the left or the right. Don't you start even being like the Israelites. Don't to complain, but you just trust and rely on God. Even though I'm in this opposition, God, even though I'm hitting a wall, Lord, but I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to believe in you. Some of us might be saying that I'm not in the right place because I'm facing opposition. And it does not mean that God is not with you. As we pursue the journey of transition, moving from one place to another, we need to recognize, yes, we will meet obstacles. We see it in the life of the Israelites. God had told them to go to the promised land, and that was not an easy ride for them. As the Israelites were facing this opposition, were facing this transition of their life, they started to complain, they started to criticize to Moses. And if we're not careful, at times you and I can do the same thing. We start to complain, we start to murmur, we start to judge, we start to just complain over complain over complain and start criticizing. Why are these things happening? Brothers, sisters, trust in the Lord. They went up and they started to complain to Moses. Do you know that Moses was so strong because he could have had a burnout? He could have just died right there. But he had his heart towards God. And he trusted in God. He trusted in his Lord. Now you know that I spoke about last week about the past Moses. The past leaders of the church. The leaders of the present today. If every time we're just going to call for a little stupidity, you're just going to burn them out. And if you burn them out, it's not going to work. We cannot leave the church of God. We need to be focused. We need to hear from God. And that's the plan of the enemy. For me to book around my agenda for appointments over appointments, not just appointments about people to know Christ, but appointments to solve problems, to put down fires all over the place. That's the enemy's plan, so I will lose focus in doing the what I got to do is to focus on him, to hear from God, to lead the people of God. And that's the same thing with the people right there the Israelites were doing. Complaining and complaining and complaining out of Moses all the time. So he can lose focus, but he remained faithful. Because you will see through the scripture something great and is encouraging for me to say this, and I want to encourage you with the word of God this morning. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 12 to 13. Isn't this what we told you in Egypt? Leave us alone so we may be served the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. But Moses, on verse 13, said to the people, don't be afraid, but stand firm. And see that the Lord's salvation will provide for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. You see, the spirit of criticism and complaining. God was moving in their lives. God is moving in them, moving them from one place to another place. He's moving them out of Egypt, bringing them to Canaan, bringing them to the promised land, leading them out of Egypt, and they still complain. God has taken us from the pit of hell. God has snatched us from the pit of hell and gave us life for you and I, and we still complain. Lord, have mercy on us. God has helped the Israelites, and God has helped us, people of God. Let's learn how to keep our mouth shut. Let's learn how to worship God more and less of complaining. Watch this. If God is leading us, he says, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation, and he will provide for you today. God is leading us, and he wants to remind us, church, not to be afraid. I know that God is leading our church. I'm not afraid of every move that he tells us to do, because I know and I trust on the big guy. I know he's leading us. So when you see transition, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Trust in him. He has bigger and better plans for your life and my life, for this church, for this community. But the people of God can stop that. The people of God can stop the move of God in the life of a person. But if we're all together and worshiping and adoring and trusting and having faith in the one true God, better places and bigger places, God's going to lead us. Some of you might say, the pastor is a little bit too agitated this morning. I'm sharing this from my heart this morning. I examine every time I finish preaching, and I examine it because that word has been preached to me first. And I learn from the word that God is teaching me, and I want to share with you what God has taught me. I come in this church expecting every service to be a great service. I don't expect to come here to waste an hour and a half. No, I come expecting the move of God. And when you come expecting the move of God, great things happen in our lives. People of God, wake up. The time is coming to an end. We need to wake up and smell the coffee, as we say, and come expecting great things from God. People around us are dying without Christ. As the moment passes by, as seconds pass, they die without Christ. No, people of God, our prayer is we want more of you, less of complaining, but more of you in our lives. We know that God is leading us. We know that God is leading us. Now again, I'm going to ask this question. Do you come here expecting that God will do great things? Is that from your heart this morning? If you expect that, something will happen in your life. Because that's your prayer. And God will respond. He will respond. But make sure that it's not in your own intelligence, but God is leading you. Even as a church, I examine it daily. Lord, I want you to lead the people of God. It's not me. It's not my experience. It's not my small intelligence I have. No, Lord, I want you to guide the church. Because I know when God guides the church, great things happen. I'm like Moses. Like Moses says, don't be afraid and stand firm. But what I really like more about this is the next verse. Verse 15. Of Exodus. Some of us are right at the Red Sea. Some of us have mountains around our lives. God has called you to a journey. God has called you to a place. God wants to use you in a mighty precious way. And you think because of the oppositions in your life now, you're not on the right track. False. Look what God says. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Break camp. If God has told them, if the Lord has promised them to go to the promised land, why do you stop at the Red Sea? Move on. Don't you stop because I called you to go there. What happens is when you start to have fear in the life, it blocks you to move on to the next step of life. Moses said, stand firm, have faith, stand firm. But what I love about it is God, the Lord said to Moses, move on. And that's what God is telling us to men of you here this morning. Don't you stand there. Don't you quit. Don't you ever give up. Press forward, move on, because I have bigger places and better places for your life this morning. Are you with me this morning? That key word is important. Move on. Don't stand where you are. God has called you to do bigger places, to better places, greater things in your life. It was a command to move forward. He says, what are you doing? Come on, man. If I told you to get there, why are you stopping? Move. You have the Red Sea, but the Red Sea is there. I can't move. Move forward. And then you see what Moses has done, and the Red Sea has split open. It was faith for Moses' side right there. But also, the Lord was telling the people of God to move forward. And God answers to Moses' prayer and responded, a cry had been unnecessary. Since his words was already prayed to bring his people safe to Canaan. And so the Lord responded with the plain statement to move on. Don't quit. Don't stop. If God has promised you in your life, in your journey, he is going to be there. He will be there because God is leading your life. And if he tells you, stop crying, stop crying. You've prayed that already. I told you I'll bring you to that place. I told you, I promised it through the scriptures. I'm going to lead you to a better place. I'm going to lead you to your journey. So why are you crying? Move on. And that's what happens to human beings. At times we stop. But God tells us to move on this morning. Perhaps you have been waiting to hear a great word from God. And God is saying to us individually, press on. Keep pressing forward. I have your back. Don't quit. I have your back. He has many promises for you and I. In Psalm 127, God promised protection over his children. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God has promised protection over his children. God has promised comfort in our trials. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, praise be to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us. He comforts us in all troubles so we can be comfort those in any trouble with the comfort with ourselves receive from God. Keep moving on the direction what God is leading you. Don't forsake that journey just because you've seen that opposition. Don't you forsake that. Move forward. And when you move forward, great things happen. And when they move forward, you see what happened. The Red Sea has just opened up. Keep on moving forward because God proves himself to be faithful to them as God proves himself to be faithful to us as we know that hymn, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion is, they fail not. They has been, thy forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning your mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Remember that hymn. Remember that hymn we used to sing. Great is thy faithfulness. He is so faithful. Move on because he is a faithful God. He is not going to leave you there. He's going to help you through that transition. He'll help you through that change. He'll help you through that opposition. He'll help you through that obstacle because he is faithful. Not as just he leads this church, your life. He leads your life for years. He will continue to also lead this church. He will continue to lead your life. Take great joy. He leads us. He led us in the past. He leads us in the present, and he will lead us in the future. If God is leading us, great things happen. We serve a God that leads us. Not only that he led them, but also God, the Lord, has fought for them. As they're going, moving forward, they met an opposition. And as we see, God was moving on their behalf. The scripture tells us he was looking down and saw them. Rejoice, church. He sees everything you're going through. He's looking right at your heart. He's looking in your life. He's not forsaking you. You might not understand it. You might not see it. You might not see the miracle of God in your life now. But yes, he is watching every single one of us this morning. And that is the greatest joy that you and I can ever have. Because he is there for us. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for me. The Bible tells us in verse 24, he looked down. And he's looking right in our lives this morning. During the watch time, sunrise, just maybe a little before 6 a.m., God gave the Egyptians trouble. He confused them and sent the army in a panic. That's what's going to happen. The God that we serve, the people that are around us who's trying to be the one who's pursuing us, the ones who's trying to put fear in our lives, God will just bring confusion in their life, and you will have to continue to do what God has called you to do. Move forward. And we see in verse 25, he jammed the wheels of the chariot so they have difficulty driving, and the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites." Here it is. "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." They have realized it was the Lord that was fighting on their behalf. You need to realize that God is fighting for you. God is fighting for me. Don't you worry. What the only thing you got to do, move forward. Move forward. I'll take care of you. I'll fight your battles. Don't give up. Don't quit. The Lord fought for them. New Hope Christian Assembly, Jesus fought for you and I. He gave his life for you and I on that cross. The greatest battle that Jesus fought was on the hill called Golgotha. He went and died on for you and I. We face an enemy here in this life. It's more than we can ever see before. An enemy is real. He is not going to stop. He will try to bring defeat and destruction in your life and in my life. And if you are a believer who is living like a salt or like a salt and light in a dark world, you won't go for long without encountering obstacles of your life. If you are a believer of Christ, you will face oppositions. If you're going through the journey God has called you, you will face oppositions of life. But here's the powerful hope that keeps us strong. Great. God is greater than whatever we face here in this world, because he fights for us and he still fights for us today. So if you are in the heat of a battle right now or the enemy feels hot on your trail, please know you're not alone. You're not alone. He's there with you. He's there on your right. He's there on your left. He's right there protecting you. Many of us are in a battle right now as we speak, and God is there, the one who fights on our behalf, constantly shedding us, shielding us, protecting us, strengthening us. Even when we are unaware, God is there protecting our lives. Now, what does it mean for that God will fight our battles? That God will fight a battle means do not have any anguish or be anxious or discouraged when bad things happen in our lives. When it seems a situation of hopeless, on the matter of hand, too overwhelming, we may be tempted to doubt God. But in Exodus, we see in verse 14, it told us the Lord will fight for you. Don't you worry, child of God. He will fight for you. He will fight for me. When Christians trust God in their battles, it enables them. It enables them to what? It enables them to overcome situations. When we trust God in our battles, he will help us to overcome situations, panic, fear, and hopelessness. He is there for you and I. There are times we can see absolutely no way around the problem. Like just like Israel, when they were concerned. They were just there, concerned. They have seen the mountains on both sides, the Egyptians on one side of the back, and the Red Sea in front of them. At times we face the same situation. We don't know where to turn. We don't know how to turn right. We don't know how to turn left. We don't know how to go back. We don't know how to go forward. But let me tell you something. Move and look forward. Look up, and look up, and say, "I'm trusting in you, Lord," and just move forward. And when you make that step of faith, you will see it moves away out of your life. It's very hard to do, but we can do it. We can do it. It's everything of life. In the journey of life, we can do it. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. They've learned that no battle is too difficult or enormous or too big to handle from God in this battle. Joshua 1:5, it says, "No one will be able to stand against you in all the days of your life. And I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." That's the word of God that encourages us this morning. Not only that he leads us, not only that he fights for us, but he saves his people. He saves his people. And as a journey or transition in life's highway, he leads me into a season of transition or a journey. We must learn to trust God even more. When we're going through this transition, trust him even more. Did this ever happen to you? Your back is right on the wall. It's right there on the wall. And you're there. And you know what to do. You're there, right there. And you know you have to pray. You know you have to worship God. You know you have to read the scriptures. And you're there. You're just there. And everything is around you so blocked. And you don't even know where to turn. So you go on to try to take some resources. And you go to a spiritual holy roller Christian. And say, what do I do? I'm stuck on a wall. And the brother says to you, the sister says, just pray. I've done that. I did pray. I did fast. What do I do? I'm still stuck. I'm still at that situation. I'm still at that problem there. Am I the only one who faces that? That you're in a place, your back is on the wall, and you don't even know what to do. You know what to do. You go and ask for advice, and all of a sudden that spiritual holy roller tells you, just pray and trust in God. Easy to say those words. But when you're facing that situation, it's not as easy as it just says. That's what happened here. But I take from the word of God, they were in the same situation. Their walls were just stuck. Their back was just stuck to a wall. Red Sea, mountains on both sides, Egyptians there. They started to complain a little bit. You should have made me die in the past. You should have made me die in Egypt. Why you bring me here to die? But God said, move on. Move on. And when they moved on, that's what God is telling us. Move on. Look at me. I have called you to do better places. God is reminding you and I, when I get those seasons or journey, I can rest and know that he does battle for me. God proves himself to the children of Israel, and he also proves himself to us. He says, point number three, he saves. Because in Egypt, it says this in Exodus 14:30. It says, the day of the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. God saved them. God had delivered them. You see, the Lord did not remove them from an obstacle. But in the midst of an obstacle and opposition, he showed himself strong. He showed himself mighty. He saved them. God has saved your life. God has saved me. It's got to bring you great joy that God has snatched you from the pit of hell. It's got to bring you joy. It's got to bring you excitement. Are you with me this morning? Am I the only one excited that Christ has saved my life? Are you excited that Christ has saved your life? It's a long time I haven't said this, but are we in a Pentecostal church or what? This is too quiet for a Sunday morning for me. God has saved us. He saved my life. He saved your life. Demonstrated in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own life for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us in Romans 5:8. He reached down and snatched us out of the hand of the enemy. Church, Jesus saves. Jesus still saves today. And the message, what is the message? Jesus saves. And still saves as he continues to save us in times of trouble. What a mighty God we serve. We see that in the life of the Israelites, that the Lord saved them. And my excitement is not only that the Lord saved the Israelites, my joy that he saved my life. That should be your joy this morning. In the midst of opposition, he saved me and he sent his son for you and I. What a joy. What a joy. And we can sing that song, how amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. How amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That should bring you great joy. because he snatched us from the pit of hell and gave us life, give us eternal life. He's found us. We're going in the wrong direction. But Christ has saved my life and your life. God proves himself to them as he proves himself to us, that he's trustworthy. He leads his people. He fought and still fights for his people and us. But also he saves his people, and he still continues to save the life of humanity every day that we speak. Exodus 14:31. This is the result of it. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of God, the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put the trust in him and in Moses and his servant. They remembered their history and reflected on the victories. They looked back in their life and they remembered what God had done to them to get them out of Egypt and what God is doing for them at that moment. They looked at their recent victories and they responded. They feared God and they trusted him. We can look back in our lives and ask the question, was God good to me? And I can tell you, yes, God was good to me. Was God good to you? They rejoiced. When I look back in my life, I can surely say that I have been blessed. I've got a testimony how God has saved me. You have a testimony how Christ has saved your life. Rejoice because he has saved you. When you and I met oppositions in life or transition, whatever we're going through of life, God has saved us. And on his track record, all the time, he has saved you in an opposition. I can praise God. He is trustworthy because he will save us again and again. I'm not talking about repenting of your confessing sins every time. I'm talking about save us in a time of trouble. He saved us. And he saves us over and over and over. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. They feared God. They trusted God because of the victories. And once again, God proves himself that he is faithful. We can trust him because he is of the history. We can trust him because he shows himself over and over again in our life. We can be victories over our obstacles. Why? Because he leads us, because he fights for us, because he saves us. We can overcome any situation of life because he is there for you and I. The salvation that he has made available to us, he also made available to the whole world. It's not just for you and I. The message is this: Jesus saves. And not just you, but he saves anybody who goes to him. The children of Israel were at the Red Sea. They were at the Red Sea that God did not leave them there. We rejoice because he took them through the Red Sea. Only the God that we serve can pull back the waters of your life. Only the God that you and I serve can show himself the way he showed himself to them. God can show himself to you and continues to show himself over and over in us to our lives, every day of our life. A God who can be trusted. A God who is faithful. And how are you and I going to respond this morning? Let it be so. Truly trust in him fully. Walk in him faithfully. Why? Because we serve a God who will help us in our journey. That's the God that you and I serve this morning. But remember one thing this morning I want to encourage you with. You might be in the Red Sea. God has called you for a journey. Move on. Don't stop right there. If God has promised you something, move on. If God has promised you a job, move on. If God has promised you finances, move on. If God has promised you whatever it is of life, don't stop. Trust him, rely on him, walk in him faithfully. God will make a way for you. God will make a way for me because I believe in the big God. He's a faithful God. Amen? Let's all stand this morning as we bring to a conclusion. I want to just pray. Some of us, because I asked that question from the beginning and I'm going to ask it again to the end of the service. Some of us might be facing at the Red Sea as the musicians come forward. Some of us may be at the Red Sea. Some of us be having this all oppositions and surroundings are tied up. We don't even know where to look anymore. But I encourage you one thing this morning. If you come here and you've come here expecting something from God, you will get the expectation from God. You will get your prayer answered. So I want to just pray with you this morning. Have you come here expecting great things from God? Have you come here expecting great things from God? Thank you. So as we sing this song, I want to pray for you this morning. We have a team who's going to pray for you this morning. Just get real with God and say, "No, Lord, I need you this morning. Whatever it is,